better than a sweet smoky burnout to start our Wednesday. Here we are on the latest episode of Motor Millennials Podcast. I'm Zach Rothenberger. As always, Anthony Lucci joining me here. How are we doing today, Lucci?
Doing awesome, Zach. How you doing tonight?
Oh, you know, I'm great. Doing well. We have a very exciting announcement on today's episode, and we have some great topics as always. But before we get into that, we'd like to hit on some of our recent episodes. We'd like to remind everyone to check out, and you know, if you haven't checked, you know, tuned into them yet, to check them out if you'd like, if you have time on your way to the track or the car show. So our latest episode was we compared quarter mile drag racing to 8th mile drag racing. We talked about some of the trends and how we've seen a shift into 8th mile drag racing, especially in the big money bracket racing world that seems to be growing day by day. In the episode prior to that, we had the winner of the King of the Creek down at MIR, Joe Dedrick, a local guy to us in Pennsylvania, won a big race, and we had him on to tell a story from the weekend. It was pretty incredible. Be sure to tune into that. Prior to our interview with Joe, we had an episode, which is a start to a series of kind of auto detailing topics we're going to be talking about, you know, later to come. And so we started that off with auto detailing 101. And prior to that, we had funny car, altered, whatever you want to call it, and rock musician Mike Gironi join us and talk about his match racing with his Fiat altered and their quest for 200 miles per hour and some other pretty cool stuff. So we got you all caught up to speed. So before we get started, I know, Lucci, we have something pretty big we wanted to let everyone know about, right?
Yeah, no, some big news that you can now show off your car passion and your pride and keep the tradition alive by getting yourself some Motor Millennials gear, right? So you can go to motormillennials.com and you can shop all different stuff that we have, such as t-shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, mugs, even pouches that you can put your registration and car insurance in. So we got all different kinds of cool stuff. We appreciate any support, you know, that's going to just, again, go towards growing the podcast and just bring you guys more content and really just helping the car community. You know, we want to, you know, be able to grow into having events and all different things. So, you know, we appreciate any support. And, you know, Zach and I have already got some gear and we love it. There's a lot of different options on there. So, again, you can go to motormillennials.com. And since it's been so hot out, and to help us launch this, you know, we're happy it's the summertime and car season, but you guys have until July 5th, you can enter promo code HEATWAVE. So that's one word, HEATWAVE, for a 10% discount on your order, again, at motormillennials.com. So go grab yourself some gear, you know, and, you know, you can wear it at the track, you know, you can wear it at the garage, you can wear it to car shows, you know, you can wear it anywhere. Wear it, you know, go to the swimming pool and show off your passion. Today's topic kind of ties in with what we're talking about. Like I was saying, you could wear it at the track. We're going to be talking about some safety gear. So maybe you'll have your favorite Motor Millennials t-shirt on underneath your, you know, your jacket. Because one thing is that we know is important in racing. And I guess, Zach, we haven't really talked about this topic yet, right? Is the safety aspect of it. I mean, we always, you know, it's a thrill leaving the starting line and getting down to the end of the track and winning rounds. And but you got to do it safely. And there's a lot of safety gear and a lot of equipment involved in keeping drivers safe. And that's the big thing. At the end of the day, you want to go home in one piece, right? So I guess first let's kind of talk a little bit about jackets and long pants, right? So you don't want to get in your race car and just you know, have your birthday suit on, right, and go down the track. So
it'd make for a fun story, but I don't know how I don't know.
you might get the track officials a little riled up.
Yeah, might win best appearing, you might not.
Yeah, that could go one way or the other. But I think, Zach, pretty much right at any track, like you have to have long pants on, right? You can't be racing in shorts. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, that makes sense. I mean, your legs are pretty much the closest thing to the powertrain in most cases. And, you know, in case of a fire, you know, you have some type of protection. Now, again, honestly, you know, this could be sweatpants. You know, of course, there are racing pants, right, which are made out of materials that are flame retardant and heat resistant. Mm-hmm. So,
and they're mandatory based on your ET that you run.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, the faster you run, you don't want to be running an 850 in sweatpants.
No.
So, but that is one thing. So, you know, if it's your first time out at the track, you definitely want to make sure that you have long pants on. And then, like I was saying, the other thing was jackets. That's another thing that is, changes based off the thickness of the jacket, based off how fast you're running. You know, so, and, you know, different ETs require different thicknesses. So, I think when you start getting into the faster classes, the multi-layer SFI 3.2A/5 is typically what you'll see is mostly required. So if you're, you know, getting into the hobby, you want to get something safe that's going to, you know, last you for a pretty long time until you get, you're running really low ETs. That's probably the your best bet to start looking for on Google. You know, you never know. Maybe we'll be selling them on motormillennials.com soon.
Hey, yeah, that's possible. You never know. Never know what's going to come at you. So always, you know, stay tuned. But yeah, no, definitely, you know, it's crazy. Like, for example, if you run slower than 1150, you can get away with just wearing jeans and a t-shirt and a helmet, obviously. But, right. You know, as you get faster, you know, for example, if you run a dragster below 750s in the quarter mile, you need your advanced DT, which requires really, I forget the exact thickness and suit and everything, but I can attest that in a hot, you know, summer day in a dark colored car or a dark interior or a humid day, it's not the most fun thing to wear, but you absolutely need to for safety, for number one, because like you said, while we like to spend our money, you know, under the hoods or in the engine bay, it's also important to make sure you can climb out of your car at the end of the day in one piece. So it's super important for sure.
And Zach, I guess, you know, you can think about it, like some of those materials, depending on what kind of car you're racing, you know, I think it was Mike Gironi that we had on. I think he pretty much sits right over top of the rear axle, right?
Yeah.
You definitely want that protection. And also it probably does. Yeah. And like you said, Zach, it's warm, especially on a hot summer day, but it probably also helps you, you know, if you have heat coming off of the engine or wherever it is. Of course, when you're making a lot of power, you're creating heat. So it probably does. Yeah, you're hot inside of it, but it's probably helping keeping some of the heat off of your body as well. Because if you just have like a thin layer of clothing on, you know, you're going to feel, you know, if you have a car that puts off a lot of excess heat, you're going to feel that.
Yeah. And I'm sure every racer who's listening and who follows us can attest, like, yeah, it's hot, but it's only really hot when you're in the staging lanes. Once you start the car and once you do the burnout, once you're on the actual track, you don't, your adrenaline, your focus overtakes any type of heat your body's feeling. So like, you know, you're only really hot when you're in the staging lanes waiting to go, you're sitting in your car with your helmet on, things like that. And then once that engine fires up, you kind of forget about it and you just focus and dial in. So, yeah. You know, as much as it stinks in the heat, it kind of like while you're actually performing what you're supposed to be doing, like with racing and your tasks to get the car to run the best and for you to perform the best, you don't really feel it too much, which is nice. And it's kind of interesting how that works.
Yeah. You're just focused and ready to go. So Zach, where's some other, you know, some other safety equipment that, has been kind of been developed over the years to help keep drivers safe?
Yeah. So one big one, which I know it's kind of taken over really since the early 2000s was, the Hans device, which, you know, I didn't know this until several years ago. Hans stands for head and neck support device. It's not some guy, you know, not some German guy named Hans sitting in the back smoking a pipe. There's actually a meaning for what Hans stands for. And, you know, the Hans device really started in the late 90s, mainly, you know, in NASCAR. And there was only, you know, a lot of like the old time racers, like, you know, Dale Earnhardt and, you know, like Jeff Gordon, even Bill Elliott, those type of folks, they didn't really want to adopt the Hans device because they felt like it was too restrictive of your vision, your movement, and like your ability to kind of focus on what your surroundings while racing the car. They felt like it was too much of a restraint. But pretty much only in the late 90s, only a handful of professional racers wore them for that reason. And, you know, I believe there was a documentary on ESPN about, you know, Dale Earnhardt's passing. And I believe like the creators of the Hans device were trying to get Dale to use it. And that would hopefully, you know, persuade everyone to start wearing it themselves, you know, because they did start to notice there was a lot of serious crashes and fatalities because of, you know, a neck fracture or a skull fracture. And it was mainly because of, you know, the impact in their head kind of, you kind of get a massive whiplash of your head flying forward in a wreck. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, sadly, of course, I'm a huge Dale fan, with his accident, that kind of amplified the push for, all right, now we need Hans devices. We just lost the most impactful figure in motorsports, like probably almost ever at that point in time, not just NASCAR, like motorsports in every aspect. And then there was a very serious push from the early 2000s after his crash on. And now every NASCAR driver, I think it's mandatory, has to wear one. NHRA professional racers wear one. I mean, shoot, even some junior dragster racers wear them, and some other guys running the bracket programs at the local tracks. You know, I've never personally worn one, but it's something that, you know, obviously, you know, you value your life, right? And you're going high speeds. You need to make sure your head's not going to sling, you know, you're not going to fracture your neck or do something that could be fatal. You know, from a bracket racing perspective, they're mandatory if you have your advanced DT license under 750 in a quarter mile. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that technology continues to move forward, or if they make it even mandatory in other classes as well. From a drag racing perspective, it's super important, and it's a shame that it took us to lose such a figure like Dale Sr., you know, for that to happen. But at the same point, that's a part of his legacy. At least it's what everyone views as part of his legacy at this point in time. So Hans device is definitely, you know, it might not be an enjoyable piece of equipment, but it's proven its worth, I would say.
Yeah, it does what it's intended to do. And if you're running, you know, you're running at that fast of a mile per hour, you know, your body, I think when we were designed originally, we weren't intended to be traveling at a rate of speed that fast. So it definitely is designed to help keep your body on one place and keep you safe.
Yeah. And one other thing. So the way the Hans device works is, well, before I actually get into that, like, you know, that's a good point that you made, that our bodies weren't designed for this. And, you know, as the years go on, technology is increasing and kind of performance is increasing. So as you see, like ETs are getting quicker, more power is being made day in and day out. So the more power you make, the faster you're going to go, you're going to need to start seriously considering the safety equipment. And kind of one thing that leads into our next safety topic is the way the Hans device goes is it's a support that it goes over your shoulders, and there's kind of like a neck collar, like you might see some football players have in the back, that sticks up, and you basically put your seatbelts over the Hans device. And then there's a little strap that connects to your helmet. And that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, I've heard people say that they love it and it's comfortable. So, you know, more people should start adopting it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, Zach, you know, you mentioned helmets. That's another important piece of safety equipment. So, and again, this kind of goes along with long pants. I think it's mandatory, right? Wherever you're racing, you know, at least any track that I've been on, you need to have a safety helmet.
If you're under 14 seconds in the quarter mile.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, and again, that's the way it should be. You know, it's you gotta, if you're going to put yourself, you know, going at a high rate of speed, you want to make sure you're doing it safely. So let's talk about helmets a little bit, I guess. So I think one thing that some people might not know is that helmets have an expiration date. You know, so there's all different kinds of helmets. And, you know, you can wear like a motorcycle helmet, essentially, but you want to make sure that it's not expired. But again, there's all different kinds of helmets, and we could spend hours and hours talking about that. But talking about the expiration date. You know, one of the reasons why helmets do have an expiration date is glues and the resins that held, you know, hold the helmet together over time, like your hair, your body oil, you know, hair products. So your shampoo and your conditioner, and even UV rays, you know, you think about it, you're out in the sun. We know how UV rays affect paint and all different, you know, seals. And I mean, think about it, it breaks stuff down over time. So, you know, that helps with the process of degrading the helmet over time, which isn't what we want, but you know, it's one of those things. It's a safety piece of equipment. So you want to make sure that you're not wearing something that, God forbid, you need it to protect your head, it's going to fall apart. So you want to make sure that it's up to snuff. So you want to go with a Snell, and that's S-N-E-L-L rated or SFI approved helmet that has been made within the last 10 years. So that's the rule of thumb to follow. And if you look inside the helmet, it's usually printed on a pretty big label where you really can't miss it. So again, that's Snell rated or SFI within the last 10 years. And Zach, I think you talked about on the last topic with the Hans device, again, better technology comes out. So you, it really makes sense when you start thinking about it. Would you want to be wearing a helmet from 50 years ago or wear a helmet that has been developed and a lot of engineers and probably a lot more than just engineers go into it. People, you know, probably people who study the brain and everything go, you know, are probably involved with the whole process of making helmets. The ones made today are a lot better and they're going to keep you a lot safer. And I think Zach, me and you were talking before the podcast about how helmets kind of got started, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. And they're comfortable too. So it's not like it's like, it's a pain to wear them, but yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, from the 1950s when drag racing, you know, started out in California or NHRA started, you know, you got people wearing like a leather helmet with sunglasses, you know, and then it kind of grew into like an open faced helmet, which some people still actually wear today. And then obviously you get that now to today where you have the full face, you got the Simpsons, the Impacts, and a bunch of other different companies, obviously, with, like you said, you compare it to football. Like, think about it, in football, they didn't wear helmets in the 20s, 30s, maybe leather. But then now you see all the technology that's going around with concussion, you know, the concussions and everything. But the big thing with racing is like, it's not even just wearing a helmet to protect yourself from your car. It's also about the person in the other lane. Like, if you're running a 13-second car, if you're a 13-second car and you're against a 9-second car, and God forbid the 9-second car gets loose and comes out in front of you, like, you, the slower car, you need to make sure your stuff, you are equipped to be able to walk away from something like that. So, so yeah, you know, it protects the brain, which is arguably probably the most important organ in your body. Right. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's top priority. You know, if you're going to, we all put a bunch of money into our cars, it's worth the very small amount compared to what we put into our cars to grab some of the safety gear and make sure that we're safe going down the track. And I think you got another great topic, Zach, about roll cages, right?
Yeah. So I figured I'd, you know, change it up a little bit instead of something that you wear on your person when you're racing, but something now related to your car and kind of the development of the roll cage. Cause it's something that we all basically in drag racing, you kind of expect now, if you have a high performing vehicle, it's like, oh, it's a roll cage. But kind of like the history behind the development and the origins of the roll cage technology is pretty interesting to me, at least or to us, it's a little history buffs, I guess. You know, back in like the late 60s, early 70s is when the roll cage was first kind of adopted. And, you know, a lot of the builders and the racers at that point in time, like, hated the idea of a roll cage because they viewed it as added weight to the vehicle. And they thought that it would slow the vehicle down, it would affect performance, things like that. So what they did at that point in time in the early 70s was they made their roll cages out of aluminum. Wow. And they were strictly bolt on. They were not, you know, they were just bolted on aluminum roll cages. And, you know, they did that for a short period of time. And then after a series of, you know, brutal, you know, deadly crashes, and this is for drag racing and for stock car racing, off-road racing, any type, all that, you know, that they use these in. And after a series of very, you know, dangerous wrecks, they realize like, okay, well, we need to stiffen this up. So then they started to weld them in with, you know, a steel metal. And then they found out that because they were using steel, which is much more, you know, rigid, they were welding it on to the chassis and kind of bracing things much more intelligently. They actually found that even though it added some weight, the cars performed better because it increased the rigidity of the car, which at that point in time, there's a lot of, you know, unibodies and stuff. And it's the same concept as us adding a subframe connector to our F-body vehicles. Like it just firms everything up to the point where, yeah, we added 50 pounds, but guess what? It's, you know, it, everything's a lot more rigid and it functions more as one. And it's a lot quicker off the starting line, or it handles a lot better around the corner, yep. You know, things like that. So they found out that the chassis and the car actually performed better. And, you know, as we know with drag racing specifically, your different roll cage requirements vary based on your ET too. So you technically don't need a roll cage until you're under 1150. You know, 11.5 seconds in the quarter mile, which then you're required to have a 6-point roll bar. You know, obviously, and then as you get faster, those requirements, you know, they move into a funny car cage or, you know, whatever, just a lot more requirements. So it's just pretty fascinating that literally only like 50 years ago, people used aluminum bolt on roll cages in their car.
Yeah, it's really not that long ago.
No. Now, when you think about it, I mean, you think about it, we're almost 30, and those 30 years feel like it went by in a snap of a finger. You know, so 50 years isn't too much longer than that if you think about it. So it's just pretty cool, like kind of the evolution of how that started and how things have shaped to today.
The development of safety in general for the racing community is super important, and it's something not to be overlooked at any time. So yeah, make sure, you know, you check, you know, all the boxes off before you go down the track. You got all the right gear on. And make sure you got the right gear underneath too. Like I said, check out motormillennials.com and get yourself your Motor Millennials t-shirt. Again, sweatshirts. We got some stickers, mugs, pouches, you know, anything that you really want there. So again, we appreciate the support. We appreciate everyone listening. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram. You know, leave us a comment if you know what you think about the episode. Anything you want to hear on the podcast for future episodes. And again, don't forget about the promo code for the Motor Millennials gear, HeatWave, for 10% discount, which ends on July 5th. We hope everyone enjoys their 4th of July holiday. Celebrate your freedom in our great country. And we'll see you next time. As always, keep on motoring. Hit it.